I want to preach from, thank you, Deontay. I want to preach from Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is the 10th book in the New Testament. The book of Ephesians that was written by Paul, the second greatest preacher in the world. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 18 through 21. Pray with me, y'all. I'm still standing on your prayers. Pray with me as I preach from Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 18 through verse 21. When you find it, please say amen. Paul declares, verse 18, he said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Grass withered, flower faded, but the word of God shall last forever." Amen. Forever and ever. I want to talk about, y'all keep praying for me. If I lose my voice, it's going to come back. I promise. I want to talk about D-W-U-I. D-W-U-I. I did not say DWI. I didn't say driving while intoxicated. I said DWUI, dwelling under, dwelling while under the influence. Dwelling while under the influence. Verse 18, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I want to dwell while I'm under the influence of the Holy Ghost. It's keeping with our theme, giving God authority over our lives. Listen, Paul here now is the author of the book of Ephesians. And he writes not in the springtime of his life, but he writes in the wintertime. In other words, Paul is getting old, but he still writes. Theologians declare that this Ephesian book is one of Paul's personal trophies that he writes to the church. He gives instructions that we might live by. When Paul writes this book, if you read it well, there are two themes, two dominant themes that we can withdraw from this book of Ephesians. There are six chapters, 155 verses, 2,422 words Paul writes to us. If you actually read this book, there are two dominant themes that Paul tries to draw from. The two themes, one is the believer's position, and the other is the believer's practices. Chapter 1 through 3, Paul talks about the believer's position, not in church, not in the world. It's not congregational, not denominational, it's not associational, but he talks about his position in Christ. All too often in Paul's writing, you would hear him use words and say words like, it's in him that I live, I move, and I have my being. It's here where you find Paul would stipulate, he would say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If you read this Ephesian book, you'll find that Paul talks about the believers. He's talking about us, our position not in the church, but our position in God. For there are people in the church but don't know the Christ. There are people in the church who professes servanthood but don't know the Savior. So he talks about our position, and it's our position in Christ. There are folk in the fellowship but don't know the fellow who's steering the ship. We need to understand Paul is talking about where you stand in Christ. Not what people say, but it's what you know and what you know for yourself. Where do you stand now? When you look at yourself, where do you stand in Christ? We got to understand it's an exterior position. It's eternal position. Those of us who are in Christ, we're looking that we might go home when he comes back. We got to understand our position, and our position is in the Christ. And when Paul looked at it, our position, my brothers and sisters, it ought to shape our practice. He takes the first three chapters and he talks about our position in Christ. Verses chapter 1 through 3, but in chapters 4 through 6, he talks about the believers' practices in Christ. I believe that our position in Christ ought to shape our practice. It ought to shape our character. It ought to shape our lifestyle. And Paul, now as he writes, he looks at the church in Ephesus. And as he looks at the church, he's having a problem. He is perplexed about what he sees. He sees their position, but their practices are not lining up with their position, with who they say they are and what they say they will do. They're doing totally opposite. Does that remind you of the New Vision Church? What about your position? Is it your practice? Is it lining up with your position? I understand when we first met the Lord, when we gave the Lord our life, most of us declared, "Lord, if you save my soul, I'll serve you." All of us say that, Betty. The bells of my days. Can anybody in here tell me what has happened from then till now? Paul said, "I'm perplexed. I'm messed up. I'm looking at the believer's position, but their practices not lining up. They're saying one thing, but they're doing something totally different." It messed Paul up. Paul said, I see choir members smoking. They're singing, but they're still smoking left-handed cigarettes. I know that they're choir members. I'm looking at their position, but their practices are not lining. I'm looking at folk, Kenneth, who call themselves deacons. That's their position, but they're drinking more than an alcoholic. They're trying to drink Jordan dry. I'm looking at the believer's position. Y'all gonna help me a little while? I promise you I ain't gonna be long. But their practices, Vanessa, just not lining up. I'm looking at preachers who's reaching, but are they reaching and trying to teach you? Are they reaching for the skirt tails? I see preachers talking about whores, and they are the biggest whoremongers. Y'all help me preach. I ain't talking about nobody, but I feel my help come. And they're talking about Paul. It messed Paul up. What about some of us? When we look at the churchgoers, people who call themselves saints in the church and want to hold a position, but if you follow them out of the church, their practices just not lining up. And Paul was having a problem. Paul says, something is definitely wrong. I believe, wait a minute. Paul thought that maybe they're not saved. Paul thought it was a salvation problem. Paul said, maybe they're not saved. But then Paul said, no, but I remember. I remember, help me, read chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. If you keep your Bibles open, it's going to make sense in a little while. Chapters 1 through 5 and chapters 1 through 3, Paul declares, that I know they're saved. He talks to them from a salvific standpoint. I believe that they are saved because I remember when. I remember, my brothers and sisters, when the brothers, they were dead in sin. Verses 1, 2, 3, chapter 2. They were dead in sin. In other words, it just didn't matter to them. Sin was just an abnormal behavior. Sin was just sin. You know, when we can do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, and to whomever we want to do. Paul says, I remember that. I remember when we were disobedient. We had a disobedient spirit. Nobody tells me what to do. I remember, you remember before you got saved? I remember when we had desires that were selfish. And Paul says, yeah, that's verse 1, 2, 3, but verses 4 and 5, he said, but God who loves us, I wish you read your Bible, but God who loves us so much, he sent his only begotten son to die for us. In other words, he said in that verse number 5, he said that we are saved by grace. In other words, Paul said, it's not a salvation problem because they were saved. It's not a salvific experience because the people of God, he said, I know that they are saved. He goes on so far in verse number 6. He said, not only did he save them, but he raised them and he put them in heavenly positions in the church. And Paul said, now I'm looking at them. But I don't understand it. Watch this. They are saved. But there's still a problem. Because I still see preachers doing what they want to do. Deacons who trying their best, who actually say that, you know, you're supposed to only have one wife. And it's all right to have one wife, Deke said. But why is it, Deke, you got three concubines? Their practices, their character, their lifestyle is not lining up with their position. We want these positions in church, but along with the position, there come requirements. And baby, you got to give an account unto the Lord. And I remember then, but I say to myself every now and then, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, Corey, well, would I be? I'm not all that I should be. No, I'm not where I ought to be, but I thank God that he still have me on the wheel, not in the showroom, but back in the back. He got me in the shop. In other words, he's still working on me. I don't know about you, but that make me feel good to know that God still have his hands on me. Somebody need to help me. Somebody need to say, me too, Reb. I ain't yet, but thank God that he still got his hands on me. Paul says, I'm looking, it just don't make no sense to me. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this Ephesian church. I'm trying to figure out these people in the church with these positions in the church, but their practices are not lining up, and they're saved. Y'all better hear me. They saved. Okay, they got religion. I was at one of the baptism myself. They got baptized. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. They believe in Jesus the Christ, but they're holding positions in the church, but their character, can it, just not lining up. Their lifestyle just not lining up. And I told you they're saved. The problem is, it's not a salvation problem, but it's a sanctification problem. Ain't nobody helping me in this place. It's a sanctification problem. Yeah, I'm saved, Holy Ghost filled, baptized, and everything, but I'm still struggling. Somebody gonna help me in a little. I'm still struggling. I'm saved. It's not about salvation, but it's about sanctification. Sanctification actually means I'm set apart from everything else, and I'm dedicated for God's use. It's a work of grace. Sanctification is a work of grace through salvation. So I am saved. I'm just not sanctified. Help me, somebody. Y'all gonna help me. I'm not sanctified. They were saved, but they were still struggling. I don't know about you. They were still struggling with stuff. Oh, God. They were saved, y'all. They're on that watch. They are on their way to heaven. But they were struggling. Struggling, my brothers and sisters. They were struggling. Look at chapter 4, verse number 25 to 31. And if you look at it, I'm going to paraphrase it. But they were still lying. I'm saved, but every now and then, just every now and then, I might tell a little why. They were saved, y'all. But she fine. The girl is fine as wine. She shaped like a Coca-Cola bottle. Her facial features are fine. Yeah. They were coveting other people's wives. They in the church, they saved. Y'all better help me. Y'all mighty quiet on me this morning. Y'all looking at a miracle standing up here, but you're not testifying with me. I ain't talking about nobody, but I'm talking about what I'm talking about. They were in the church, holding positions in the church. They were saved, but they wasn't sanctified. And Paul says, be filled. That's what Paul talking about. Paul said, be filled. They're just struggling. They're just like, I don't know about you, but let me confess myself. I'm still struggling. Everybody, you got a little something going on with you. Everything ain't all right with you. You got a little something. I wish I had somebody who want to be real. Everything is, now every now and then I take a little hook. Every now and then they were struggling. Their eyes were wandering. Every now and then they were peeping and creeping. Every now and then they were hooking and crooking. I've testified. Somebody need to say, Lord, it's me. I'm standing in the need of prayer. They were struggling with sanctification, their desires. They did not have control. And that's why I said, I want to dwell while under the influence. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want the Lord to just fill me up. Every day of my life, I'm praying that the Lord fill me with your goodness. Fill me with your grace. Fill me with your glory. That's what Paul was actually having a problem with. They were saved, and he's looking at the church. And some of y'all just looking at me, but don't look at me with that tone of voice. Don't look at me with that tone of voice, because you ain't all that yourself, baby. You got something. You got a skeleton in your car that you just don't want to open the door and let him out. But all of us, you might not dread. Don't look and laugh at me because of my fault. Because you all got one or two or three or four. Amen, somebody. Y'all help me preach in here. Something cool. We got it. Don't look. Pray for me. That's what you need to do. Paul says we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. He's not suggesting that we ought to be filled. He said we all need a DWUI. We need to dwell. We need to live under the Spirit of God. Every day, and why I'm saying we need to be filled, we need to be filled because every day, Paul says, I gotta die to myself daily. Did you not know that there's a struggle that's going on in me, inside of you, every day? That the struggle, we're struggling with Satan, who want to tell us the wrong thing to do. We're struggling with self, who want to tell us what we want to do. Then we're struggling with the Savior, who's telling us the right thing to do. There is a struggle going on. There's a battle that's going on within us. And Paul says, that's why we need to be filled. We need to dwell while under the influence. Why? You look at me and you say, why must I be filled? You got to be filled. In other words, that there's no lusting of the eye. I find out, Vanessa, if we people, a lot of times we look long. And if we look long, then lust comes up. That's why, Vanessa, I just learned to glance. Hurry up and turn my head, because I know if I look a little while, y'all ain't going to help me this morning. I'm doing the best I can trying to preach you this word, and y'all don't want to help me. Listen, homeboy, you ain't got to say amen. You ain't got to raise your hand. Just wink at your boy. I know what I'm talking about. I know you know what I'm talking about. But I found out, watch this. I found out when I looked back over my life, when I look back, and I've been living a little while, but when I look back over my life, I found out some stuff. I found out that most of my downtime was when I wasn't filled. I found out that the worst times in my life was when I wasn't dwelling while I was under the influence. I found out, I don't know, but yo, I found out when God did not have control, did not have authority over my life, that's when I made my biggest errors. I made all of my mistakes. I didn't advertise them. I did not minimize them. I did not maximize them. But I analyzed them. And when I analyzed them, I found out, children of God, that when I did what I wanted to do, y'all better help me in here. When I did what I wanted to do, when I went where I wanted to go, I found out that I was in error. Cost me. But now I find out that's why, I don't know about y'all, but I want to dwell under the influence of the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says be filled. It doesn't mean, watch this, it doesn't mean that I need more God. It means that I need to allow the Lord to have more of me. Let him have authority. Let him have authority over your life. I found out, my brothers and sisters, we must be. It's a commandment. It's in the imperfect tense. When Paul writes this letter, he writes it in the verb, the present tense, verb form. He said, be filled. Be filled. It's a compelling cry out. But it's a continuous outpour. He said, be filled. Reason why you ought to be filled, you ought to give God control of your life, is because you wouldn't make as many mistakes as you make if you give God complete control. Some of us, I don't know about you, but I want to be spiritually intoxicated. I want to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Some of us, my brothers and sisters, we don't know where we are, because sometimes you look at folk and you don't know. Sometimes they are sent, and sometimes they just ain't. They're spiritual. Yeah, you got to know where they are. But if you're constantly filled with the Spirit of God, God always dwell in you. And long as the Spirit of God dwell in you, like my mama used to say, let the Holy Ghost lead you, and he'll lead you all the way. I don't know about you, but I'm like Paul. Paul was having a problem, and if I was in that church, you've been having a problem with me. Be having a problem with you also, simply because you don't always do what you're supposed to do. You don't always go where you're supposed to go. You look at the text, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, one theologian, as he read it, he said, I believe that when he said, be not drunk with wine. Can I share with you, it's not a problem. He wasn't talking about alcoholics. He used it metaphorically. Watch this. I don't know about you, but Paul says we need to be filled. That there are evidence when you're filled with the Spirit. Now when I used to drink, it didn't take that much. When I first started drinking, one drink used to get me tipsy. One drink used to get me kind of high. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Yeah. Just one little drink, Destiny. Just one little drink of Crown and Coke used to get me high. But that was a problem because, Vanessa, that one drink didn't keep me high. I wish I had some. Just wink at your boy, Anna. It didn't keep me high, so I had to get me another drink. Kenny, I know you're going to help me out. Because, watch this, I wanted to stay. I wanted to stay where I was. So, listen, when I first started drinking, one drink used to get me high. But after I started drinking a while, it went from a point. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Wink at your boy. Ain't nobody gonna know. I wanted to be filled. And when I got my high, I wanted to stay there. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Lord have mercy. I'm feeling strength in my leg. Y'all ain't gonna help me. But understand, I wish I had some drinkers in the house that know what I'm talking about. When you first start drinking, don't take but one drink. One drink, that's all I needed. And I sit down and pluck my finger and I pat my feet. But after a while, Betty, I come down. Lord, some of us drink a little water to come down when we get too hot. But watch this. After a while, you start plucking your fingers and don't get up and dance, because when you get back to the table, you need another drink. Everybody, is there anybody in here who want to stay high? I told the brother the other day, he was talking that noise. He said, man, we together, me and my boy, we smoke a whole bag of dope. And I didn't understand it, because I thought it was just some bad weed, Kenny. A bag? The problem is, he smoked a joint, and when he finished that one, Kenny, he came down, he was coming down on his... So he smoked another one, because he wanted to stay there. It's the same way with being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's why, Mary, that's why... Every now and then when I get up out of my bed and I pray and I get in touch with the Lord, get in contact, I come to new vision, and Lord have mercy, I stay high. Choir sing, I stay high. I want a little bit more. Preach, I'm still high. I got a little bit more. But by the time I get out of here and get to my truck, I need more. Y'all better help me. I need a little bit more. So I turn on my radio on KKAY at 1 o'clock, and guess who preaching? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm high again. But by the time I get home and KKAY, I sit down a while, watch the TV, and you know what be on the TV. I'm back down again. So I got to steal off and go in my room. And Grandma used to just a little talk with Jesus. It'll make everything all right. Because I don't know about you, but I want to stay filled. That's what he's talking about. Filled with the Spirit of God. Now I'm about to leave you because, listen, that there are some evidence when a person is drunk. I wish y'all read the book. Evidence. You know the evidence. When somebody's drunk, nobody need to tell nobody he's drunk. You ever been around a drunk person? My grandma used to say, pay close attention to him. Listen at what he say, because he sure going to tell you the truth. He ain't going to want to, but he will. He's high. Evidence of a drunk man. He might stagger, he might wagger, but I promise you, if he step on your foot, excuse me, I'm so sorry, but if he ain't high, you should have picked your foot up and put in your pocket. That's why it's good to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you stomp your toe, you don't use them other four-letter words. You say, Lord, have mercy. But you got to be filled. And that's why, forgive me, but that's why when I come to New Vision, you don't know who you going to run into, what kind of spirit going to come upon you. That's why I pray before I get it, because I want to be filled. You got to be filled. Brothers and sisters, you got to be filled when you come to church. If you're filled with the Spirit, listen, because when you ain't filled with the Spirit, you're at home and the telephone ring and you look and you see who calling you. And if you ain't filled, you say, no, I don't even want to talk to you. You just let the phone ring. Doorbell ring. If you're not filled with the Spirit and you see who it is and you don't want to let them in, you treat them like they're Jehovah's Witnesses. Just let them out. If you're not filled, that's why the Bible said, Paul here, he's allotting us to know that we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to dwell while under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Grandma used to say, Holy Ghost make you walk right. Holy Ghost make you talk. And that's why I know I can detect when you're filled with the Spirit. Yeah. And I know when I'm getting my fill on, because places I used to go. No, I don't go there anymore. Not because I don't still know where Jamison at. I know the address and everything. It's not because I don't know where he at, but I'm filled with the Spirit. Some of us been places where we don't even know how we got there. You wasn't filled with the Spirit. But if you're filled with the Spirit, things I used to do. Y'all ain't gonna help me yet, huh? You just don't do them no more. Not because you don't know how to do them. Not that you forgot. People that you used to see, you don't want to see them no more. Not because you don't know their name, but you know their nature. I wish I had a prayer in church with me. That's when you know. That's some evidence of being filled. Just like that's some evidence. You know when a person is drunk. There's some evidence of a person that's filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm getting ready to take my seat now, but they're in your Bible. If you read your Bible, they're in your Bible. First evidence I see is down in verse number 19. Verse number 18, 19, it says, when a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak with the sense. There must be some interaction with the sense. Y'all ain't going to help me. In other words, when you walk through the door and you start walking down the side aisle, and that person you see who you just don't like or who you know don't like you, if you filled with the Holy Ghost, you still want to say good morning. How you doing? How's the family? Good to see you. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there must be some interaction among us. You're going to speak to everybody. You're going to share a good word. That's if you feel. That's evidence. If I'm coming down one aisle and you see me coming and turn and walk down the aisle, baby, you ain't feel. See, if you feel, you're not fake. If you're filled, you're not phony. And if you're filled, you can't fool me. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, when the pastor said, go tell everybody you love, tell somebody you love them, you don't start looking around, you start walking. What you ought to do is move out from where you are, because where you are, you came with them. You've been fooling them a long time. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, your arms are always wide open. You're ready to speak. You're ready to greet. You're ready to share with somebody that I love you, and ain't nothing you can do without. Listen, you got to understand, if you're filled with, Paul said, you got to be, you must be filled with the Spirit. In other words, you got to allow God to have authority over your life. I'm going to move, but if you keep reading, it's right there in the text. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, not only you're going to speak with the saints, but you're going to sing to the sovereign. Lord, have mercy. Sing to the sovereign. In other words, sing as though you're singing unto the Lord. In other words, there must be some praise. See, so many of us come sit down in church, and you act like you don't even know what the ensemble is singing. Listen, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, whether you know what they're singing or not, you're singing unto the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're in Q flat, in a choir, in E flat. You just, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it don't matter how I sound, it matters who I'm singing to. You're going to sing. You're going to sing songs. The Bible said, like the old folks said, you're going to sing, I've been redeemed. Thank God I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I wish I had somebody now that's filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I don't want no DWI. But thank God that I want a DWUI. I want to dwell while under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Anybody here know that the Holy Ghost make you walk right? I wish I had a witness here. Holy Ghost make you love your enemies. I wish I had a witness here. Holy Ghost make you treat your brother right. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost will make you love everybody. It don't matter what they've done you, but you still love them with the love of Jesus Christ. I'm going to let you go now, but if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, not only will you speak with the saints, not only will you sing to the sovereign, but the Bible says that you will submit to the Savior. My Lord, and what I'm talking about, if you submit to the Savior, submit means to come under. Yes, God. And Corey wouldn't have to stand here and say, you need to stand up on your feet. You need to say hallelujah. You need to say praise the Lord. Somebody need to give God some praise. But if you go submit to the Holy Ghost, you'll be on your feet right now, and you'll be thanking the Lord for all he's done for you. Ain't the Lord been good? Ain't the Lord been good? Somebody ought to help me and say, he brought me from a mighty long way. I don't know about you this morning, but when I look back over my life, the Lord been good to me. The Lord been mighty good to me. He's brought me from a mighty long way. I don't have to look back very far. January the 2nd, 2010, the Lord, the Lord, he's been mighty good to me, y'all. I couldn't move my hand, but I could lift my hand. I couldn't move my leg, but
Lord, he's been so good. He's not through with me yet, Lord. But when he gets through with me, I'm going to come forward as pure gold. I know I need to sit down, but I just can't stop praising the Lord. Oh, he's been good. The Lord been good. Oh, he's been good to me. I don't know about you, but the Lord been good to me. I thank him every day for the activity of my limbs. I may not be as strong as I used to be, but oh yeah, I'm getting better every day. Yes, I am. I thank you, Lord.
Man, come on and give Pastor a hand clap of praise. Come on, the doors of the church is open at this time. But there may be someone on today, amen. They need to get with the program, amen. Get with God, be filled with the Spirit of God. And this is your opportunity, because time is winding down. Old folks say the sun is going down. The sun is sure enough going down. Amen. Is there one on today? We offer Christ to you. He's the way. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the light. There's no way to the Father but through him. So we offer Jesus to you on today. If everything is all right with you, come on, let the church say amen. Amen.